cliffhanger. In my shop, we used to sell a sandwich called the cliffhanger. It was two pieces of bread, and then he'd have to come back next week for the meat. I guess this time, me, Sarah, and Roger are actually gonna talk about monsters and entertainment. I don't know what that thing was last time. Dice? Who needs it? Anyway, we still got some swearing going on. And if you want to place a takeout order or build a sandwich with an NGDT team, call 224-300-0949 or email us at nevergonnadothatpodcast@gmail.com. Here's the show.
So this is all a really roundabout lead-in up to the pitch, since it involves both washed-up showbiz folks, also horror, as showbiz is inherently horrifying.
Absolutely, like an All About Eve, a bloodthirsty understudy situation.
Oh, horror.
Horror.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh. May I need to enunciate more?
It's not like you're having to whore yourself as you're trying to make it.
The lead-in was really good. We're talking about musical theater and whores.
God.
There goes that Disney Plus sponsorship money.
Yeah, but My Pillow, that money might still be coming in. My Pillow loves whores.
Our first sponsorship's on the way.
That guy that runs the company is totally a whore, of course.
It's a washed up show business. Maybe they would have to resort to doing a commercial or endorsing something to make some money on the side, like doing a jingle, whoring themselves out because, oh, they used to be big. Anyways, go ahead. Pitch your idea.
Let's imagine there's a universe. The movie monsters of the 1930s and 1940s were actually real monsters. They weren't played by actors, and they actually were in movies. But as we all know, by the end of the 40s, stars like Karloff and Lugosi, their careers started fading, and they'd been typecast as these people who no one found was scary anymore. So imagine some of these faded monsters in Hollywood still trying to hang on to celebrity, or at least a living, or an unliving, you know.
An unliving. So it's not the actors, they're the actual monsters.
I think I understand, and I want to just jump right in.
Please do.
Yeah.
The creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes.
Tries to break into comedy.
Oh.
That would be a great subplot. I'm just thinking of the real world equivalents where Bela Lugosi ended up with all those C-list and D-list comedy groups, like some Martin and Lewis knockoff called Mitchell and Petrillo or something.
Who was working with Ed Wood?
It was also Lugosi.
He got around.
Yeah.
He had found his new niche, but there are others that maybe didn't fare as well.
Yeah, maybe the creature in the Black Lagoon. Maybe he's more like a Spenguli type, where he's a late night movie host who's sort of campy, or even maybe a comedy daytime thing, like a Bozo, but he's getting a fire hose on him, or it's, whoa, I need to get back in the water. Why'd you give me fish treats instead of my favorite food? Really lame schlocky stuff.
You know, there's this weird element to it. See, I always take things to a dark place. For me, I see an element of the Bluebird of Happiness from Sesame Street. There's this element of a sadness to that creature. So I see this lavish ballroom set and the rotating stage. Maybe he comes out and he has a bit of a choreographed C number, and then he tells some jokes, and then it goes back behind the thing. He's in this little tank and it's freaks.
The way you talk about that makes me think of Young Frankenstein.
Roger, you had mentioned Frankenstein right in the beginning, talking about that washed up scenario of, oh, maybe he's trying to go out for roles and he's just not getting them. But he's of this old Hollywood studio system. He's like, I remember the good old days. Maybe he's eating some sandwiches somewhere and he's on this casting call. And then he gets cast on like an Ed Wood type thing where it's a real shit production. And it's like, hey, can you move a sandbag over there? Champ, thanks. Between takes.
The check bounces for like a day's work, you know,
exactly.
After all this humiliation. And
he puts on his little jacket and he shuffles.
I am so out of this right now because you guys are talking about horror and serious stuff. And then all I'm thinking of is Frankenstein saying, "I don't understand character motivation." Do I want her stay? Do I want her not stay?
Sally, the great thing about it is that on one level, it's really a dark comic thing of like, just like you'd think of any other person washed up and eaten by the system. But the hilariousness of Frankenstein going to like an acting workshop to try to hone his craft.
So it's Steven Seagal, but as a Hammer horror character.
Norma Desmond, but she's actually Dracula's daughter kind of thing.
There's a Singing in the Rain quality of it, the movie. From silence to talkies. It's that kind of a thing. Maybe these older men, like a Nosferatu, and he's trying to figure it out with some of those sexier vampires. He's like, I can't pull off the romantic scene.
That was some of the best scenes in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, it's just that idea of fish out of water or lagoon creature out of water.
What about the transition from black and white to Technicolor? And I mean, we're dealing with monsters.
Yeah.
So like the creature from the Black Lagoon. What if instead of its skin being green, it's actually more of a bright yellow?
Oh, and everyone's like, sorry, we just can't take you seriously. People are going to think you're pea water or something the way you show up.
The focus groups, it's just you're not reading scary anymore.
And that's why it ends up doing children's television, because it can just cake on the makeup, wear the big silly outfit.
Oh my gosh,
they save a ton of money on wigs.
That's so bad. Maybe even the makeup is that unhealthy stuff, like the stuff they had in Wizard of Oz, where he might even be allergic to it.
Well, he breathes through his skin, right?
Because the basis is phosphorus or something.
It's like he's suffocating. He breathes through his skin, so it's just a challenge. He's breathing heavily.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Disney used to have that one camera where they could do almost perfect chroma key. It wasn't a green screen. It was like a red screen. Anyway, what if one of these creatures is the exact same color? So their entire career ends up they're just the one that's pulling around the invisible man's hat.
Oh, like anytime there needs to be some sort of kooky effect, that's their job. That's what they're stuck at now.
Yeah, and they're big and strong, so they can pick people up instead of wires. It's so much safer to have this monster naked, but still carry him around.
I've just imagined like the Wolfman, and it's Don Knotts or whoever the 50s equivalent would be. We have to show he has magic powers, so lift him up, wave him around.
Since we mentioned Don Knotts, Sarah would like to cast Don Knotts as her mother in her life story. She said it before.
I know. We'll have to make sure my mom doesn't listen to this episode.
Oh, no. I already told her about that.
Oh, no.
She already knows.
Is Don Knotts still alive?
If he did, it's a miracle.
Yeah. I go back to this idea of monsters. In the 30s and 40s, it was a lot of these classic monsters. Frankenstein, vampires, Invisible Man, these greats. And then in the 50s, it turned to the camp and cheap thrills of Smell-O-Vision and The Blob and giant ants and aliens invading, and I can't compete with this. What is this blob, this science experiment? Nobody wants the classics anymore. Nobody appreciates the greats. They want the next big science experiment on screen, the next big person with the fly head.
I suddenly imagine, what is this blob? In my day, we had real horror, real terror, real monsters.
They're sharing a couple of stiff drinks and they're talking about the good old days, and they're like, they just don't understand.
This guy looks like something I left in the toilet when I was still alive.
Yeah, and playing with genre films. When we were first talking about this, you'd said something about a beach party.
Yeah, I was saying, like, what if you had one of those old AIP beach movies with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon, but they have to team up with Frankenstein's monster.
They're singing songs on the beach.
What if it was Annette Funicello and Frankenstein?
Oh, and say him as playing the Frankie Avalon role is Frankenstein.
He's Frankie.
Oh fuck. Frankie, okay, instead wait, of Frankie.
Frankie is the monster, or yes! Frankie would be the doctor. Dr. Frankenstein Avalon.
That's even deeper of a cut. It's like,
if you want to put logic in it, yeah.
How funny would it be if it was, I'm going to create the perfect beach party girl.
This is like the Bride of Frankenstein, but on the beach.
Yeah, Bride of Frankenstein, but how to stuff a wild Frankenstein bikini.
It's the beach of Frankenstein.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
And it's one of these wild, you know, again, in LA castles. Like,
I think the beach should be in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Because then we can put the castle inside a volcano.
That gets so fucking weird. What are you
but
talking?
It still has like a tiki motif inside.
Oh, well, yeah, no, obviously.
And
yes.
He's got the tropicolic and the bossa nova music in his volcano lift.
Wasn't it this big Technicolor movie and we want to have this exotic locale? Let's take some people on a holiday. And so, yeah, it's this big lush number, musical number inside of a volcano on an island.
And what if they party so hard the volcano starts to erupt?
Now we're talking.
And that's going to ruin the party. And then they have to figure out how to appease the volcano gods. And they just go even lower and the volcano would party there. The volcano gods are like, this is cool. And they're all partying.
I feel now this is turning into Bill and Ted. Like, it's got this weird element.
Well, there's got to also be, like, a rival mad scientist with Vincent Price. Who's, like, annoyed that Frankenstein is not your traditional mad scientist. He doesn't take it seriously, he's saying. So he's going to ruin his experiment. You know, why is he partying on the beach and surfing instead of playing with beakers and electrical coils? And, of course, at the end, he's got to, like, also realize, oh, no, his science is as good as mine. End up partying with them in the volcano lair.
Oh man, this movie has so many genres in it. A little bit of Saved by the Bell Hawaiian Vacation. A little bit of Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of Psycho Beach Party. There would also be, like, 60s biker gang, but it's got to be, like, Satan, Sadist, the Devils, and somehow they're also trying to ruin the party.
And this is where the special guest star, Dracula, shows up. All in black, on a Harley, the collar popped up super high.
Yeah.
Oh.
Riding with the Knight Rider.
It would be like Blade, where they have the sunscreen on and the motorcycle helmet. Like, that's how he keeps from dissolving in the sunlight. He's got, like, tinted motorcycle helmet and sunscreen on.
He's got the sunscreen on, and he rides around under a big umbrella. And his motorcycle has umbrellas attached to it.
This is brilliant.
I love how we're like, this is brilliant. No, but it is brilliant.
I want to make a hard turn, though.
Oh, shit.
What about the Wolfman trying to break into serious political drama?
Like what? 12 Angry Men?
7 days in May, but one of those 7 days, there's a full moon.
What if it's All the President's Men, except Robert Redford is the Wolfman? Same movie, except it's a guy covered in hair with big scary teeth.
Okay, here's the crazy thing.
Shot for shot, same movie.
No, here's the crazy thing. There was, in the early 70s, a movie with Dean Stockwell, The Werewolf in Washington, and he plays an attorney for the president. This was before Watergate came out. But yeah, Dean Stockwell is a werewolf in Washington who works for the president.
Oh my God.
And he lives at the Watergate Hotel.
Oh.
What?
Disney Plus, folks. What's hilarious is to think that all these things...
That's a young Dean Stockwell, by the way. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's been working since the 1950s. This was towards the tail end of his first round of his career before he came back for Blue Velvet and Quantum Leap. So.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap. Sarah still hasn't seen Quantum Leap.
No.
What?
I know. I haven't. This came up in another episode because I had this idea of who Scott Bakula was and I threw it out there and Garrett's like, you have no idea who Scott Bakula is. I was like, no, I've never seen the show.
I don't think you've ever seen anything with Scott Bakula in it that you know of.
No, but I love that name. It's like Spatula. Scott Spatula. Bakula.
Taste the blood of Bakula.
Oh, the blood of Bakula?
What if Scott Bakula is a vampire?
That guy's been around for a while, and he still looks great. I'm just saying.
When you were saying about the werewolf and All the President's Men, just shot for shot, I thought, like, how in Roseanne, where the different person cast is Becky, what if it was something like sitcom, you're going along, and all of a sudden it's just recast, and one of the people that's playing the daughter is all of a sudden a zombie or a werewolf, where there's no explanation, there's nothing, it's just, that's the situation.
The third season was really weird.
I jumped the shark and then it got back on track.
Oh, what if it's like Psycho, but it's a sitcom, or Life with Mother, but Mother mother is the skeleton sitting in the corner, and I still got a laugh track. You hear like the mother voice saying stuff like, "Oh, why don't you get a girlfriend?" Like, "Oh, mom."
So fucked up.
It's not just the skeleton in the corner. When the skeleton talks, the son runs up behind and starts moving the arms and the mouth.
Good impression, mom. Life with mother. It's kind of like not the same thing, but it just reminds me of My Mother, the Car.
Yeah, what if you rebooted My Mother, the Car, but did it as like a Cronenberg body horror thing?
Oh, God. And it's like a metaphor for we all deteriorate.
It would be a weird metaphor for like an Oedipal sort of thing, you know? Because it's My Mother, the Car, I have to get inside my mother to go anywhere.
David Cronenberg, yeah, he would eat that shit up.
Oh my God, wow.
I can make it so much worse. Mm. If we're going in the Cronenberg realm,
yeah.
Imagine what you would have to do just to change the radio station. Oh. What are the knobs and the gear shifts? I don't care if it's a classic Chevy on the outside. If it's your mother on the inside, I'm not buying it.
Meets Existenz meets The Fly.
Oh, God. Well, I thought to myself, we're talking weird TV shows. I just love that idea of the 70s style variety show with the musical numbers like the Carol Burnett or Judy Garland. She's got this show, but it's this washed up monster. You still have this audience and we're going to try to tap in on a Sunday.
The Mummy has a gong show type thing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Coming out doing the little dance, but as a mummy all stiff and a finger falls off.
Remember, if you don't get our panel of judges to laugh, you go in the crypt.
I don't know. I feel like some of these monsters are doing pretty good in the new age. They really reinvented themselves. Maybe they could be teaching some classes, you know, like how to market and rebrand.
You know, the more I think about it, this might be happening on some of those panels for shows already. American Idol or The Voice or whatever.
Now that I'm thinking about Sondheim and sandwiches, what if there was a special monster Halloween edition and it was this whole idea of being a washed up monster? Or trying to make a career again and like a comeback career.
It's definitely an expansion pack.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's an expansion pack if you want to challenge yourself. It's also historical theater.
So we have the washed up monsters like Dracula or Frankenstein, and they're trying to stage a 70s style holiday special.
Yes.
Like the Bob Hope Christmas special.
Yeah, Bing Crosby,
you know, Christmas special with the celebrity guests coming in. And meanwhile, their life or their unlife is falling apart behind the scenes. They're addicted to coke. They have way too much debt to the mob.
Yeah. And they're like, this has to work.
Do they get through the shoot in one piece?
Right. And he's breaking down off camera. And they're like, and now you got to go back into live. And he's like, and we're going to take a look back at some favorite moments from a long career. Let's take a trip down memory lane with some favorite victims of a monster we all know and love.
It's the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yeah.
And then behind the scenes, it's Birdman.
Oh, God.
Well, I was going to say, behind the scenes, it's also like the Star Wars Christmas special because everyone's on painkillers and coke.
Wasn't that a plot of Birdman?
Is that the animated parts just of the special behind the scenes? So it gets like really trippy. All of a sudden, it's like.
What do you mean the
weird...
animated? Don't you remember the band that played in the little hologram?
Yeah.
It's Three Dog Night, and they're playing The Wolfman is supposed to be dancing with Three Dog Night, and he starts tripping and tries to maul them. And they're like, hey, folks, it's part of the show. Cut the camera, cut the camera.
Do you think Warren Zevon would actually have to go out and publicly apologize for the song Werewolves of London? Like, you know, it's one of those things, at first the song was funny and everyone thought it was great, and then everyone was like, no, werewolves are sentient too.
They're unionizing. It's a subset of the Actors Guild.
You know, like, 20 years ago, I thought this was funny. You know, no one thought anything of it, but it's a different world today.
Problematic. Listen, I'm sorry, I was just following the Wolfman because I thought he had a lot of funny tweets. I did not realize that he murdered a whole bunch of people when the moon was full. I'm unsubscribing from him right now.
Well, wait, did the Wolfman actually murder people? I thought that was just a character.
No. That was just me in character being the person who gets out of touch and like has problematic Wolfman fave in this universe. I just thought he raised some interesting points about Wolfman. I didn't realize he actually did turn into Wolfman when the moon was full and murdered people. He was just trying to start a dialogue, and that was what I was applauding. I think we're too quick to cancel people who think differently from us these days.
Well, I stopped following Arnold Schwarzenegger when I found out he murdered all those people before he started saving the world. He showed up in the middle of Los Angeles naked one day, killed people, stole their clothes, tried to kill a little boy, and then he came back later naked again, oddly enough, and he ended up saving the little boy.
First time he was trying to kill a young woman.
Oh, okay, he's trying to kill the boy's mom. I don't know. I didn't pay attention that much. I just decided to unfollow him on Twitter. I heard the stories.
Hashtag unhappy.
Hashtag terminating the Terminator.
Yeah. Way to go, Karen. I'm going to tell you all how I feel on social medias.
I wanted to ask, what does everybody think of a male Karen?
Oh.
I think they should also be called Karen.
You think so?
I don't think we need to gender it. A Karen's a Karen's a Karen.
There you go.
And you know what? The male Karen, because they are the male Karen, they'd be pretty offended being called a lady's name. There's no shame in it, but they would be bothered by it. So I say the male Karen is Karen, and we don't use a gender for it.
Oh.
I think that's brilliant. Of course, I just had the idea. A were-Karen. Someone is bitten by a Karen, and then when the moon is full, they demand to speak to someone's manager, call the cops on people.
Do you think that's how it spreads? Because, you know, they do have a tendency to bite and spit.
Like someone's leaving an Applebee's and someone with a bad hairdo gets in their face and like spits on them and they're like, oh, okay, that was just weird. I'm just going to forget it. And then a couple months later, they start doing stuff like going to TJ Maxx and complaining about the soap that they bought already.
You're starting to get agitated, overly sensitive to sounds. The music's too loud in a restaurant. Excuse me, you know, can you turn that down? And it starts out some slow little complaints and then it escalates to practically assaulting somebody.
One day you're shopping at Walmart because you can't get what you need anywhere else. The next day you're wearing Oakley sunglasses, screaming at somebody at Burger King that there's not enough sesame seeds on the bun.
I feel like I'm seeing now a government lab deep below the earth and they're studying. They've got a few there. They're trying to find the patient.
Karen Jean.
Karen Zero.
And she's smacking against the wall.
With a giant Starbucks cup that she forced them to write I Love Jesus on as her name.
Her out-of-date pixie haircut.
We're just going to test some things here. Let's take that Starbucks cup back and we're going to maybe spell her name wrong. Let's see how this goes. She's slamming it against the wall and it's not made the way she wanted it to be made. And it's just...
The scientists are betting each other who to go in there to say, Karen, the Hobby Lobby is out of glitter.
Cut to the entire facility on lockdown, like the beginning of The Stand, where it's, oh no, the Karen virus has escaped.
An aerial view, it's almost like rats in a lab, but it's Karens in a Hobby Lobby and just seeing how it all plays out.
I've got 10 men trapped there in customer service, and you're telling me I have to abandon them.
That's why they're so angry about wearing masks.
Yeah, they
if
can't.
If the Karen
transmit.
Has to wear a mask, they can't bite. Well. Maybe the plandemic is real, but it's all about ending Karen. Because they've been coming out of the woodwork.
They have been. My God.
That's the like true plandemic.
And Frankenstein's talking to his agent, and he's like, they ever want to make a movie or something that's not the gender? I'm a male Karen. I could play this role. I could play Karen Zero.
Are you talking about the monster as Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Okay, because the monster was Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein's monster's agent is Frankenstein.
Well, in that case, I would say Frankenstein's agent is the real monster. But,
Well, man is the real monster.
No, the agent, because he's an agent.
Oh, yeah, because agents aren't real people.
I feel like this is a philosophical text. Agents aren't real and other Hollywood.
Anybody in the entertainment industry is a monster.
Whether you've done improv or shot independent film.
You'd have to be a monster to want to do improv.
Or independent film, for that matter.
Or stand-up comedy.
Oh, you have to be a broken person to do that.
In the final analysis, the stand-up comedians are the real monsters, you know?
Oh, I can just see that ending, a little the monster of having a little stand-up comedy career at the end. Like, here's some jokes about my time in the business and my time on set. But it's just not landing because the jokes, the humor is not like the humor of today. It's one-liners.
Oh, and then like more modern stand-up comes out and then starts ridiculing Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster goes on a rampage and rips the guy's arms off or something. Hey, look at this guy, said fire bad. We all know that, guys. We learned that, like, what? When you, the first time you touch like hot stove.
I, for one, am very happy to say I don't think that Frankenstein's monster is ever going to do that.
It's probably not going to do any of that.
I don't know. I don't think we're going to do any of this.
Yeah, probably not. No.
No, because I'm never going to actually learn who Sondheim is.
And I'm never going to learn how to make a sandwich or fight evil casting directors.
I don't know about the casting director thing, but the sandwich thing is very true, yes.
There's an art to it, so says the hitchhiker.
That's why they're called sandwich artists. You know, you've got to be moved. You can't just force yourself to do it. You've got to have that spark inside you.
And unfortunately, I just don't, so I'm never going to work at Potbelly's or at Quiznos in Queens.
If sandwich making is an art form, then the Quiznos in Queens is that art gallery in every little touristy trap that sells mostly Thomas Kincaid.
On a Thomas Kincaid painting of Quiznos. What? Like, that's the apotheosis of American capitalism. Thomas Kincaid painting a Quiznos.
Oh my gosh. When you're waking up and feeling half dead, don't reach for the tea. Have some Folgers instead.
It's coffee!
Cut! Tell me why you went this guy again.
He'll play well with the senior market, and he was within our budget.
Oh, fuck me in the Hamptons. I don't get paid enough for this. Hey, Frankie, baby, why don't you come over here for a second? Okay, just a few notes, old-timer. I'm just not feeling the Folgers energy from you. I need to see what that caffeine is on the screen. That morning jolt. You need to electrify those little ladies watching out there. You with me?
Like my birthday!
You got it, big boy. All right, let's just get back out there and let's just take it from the top. It's like trying to catch lightning in a bottle with that one. Ugh. Anyways, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Not Dude App Podcast for even more Monster Mayhem. And we hope you'll come back next week and visit for our holiday episode when we'll talk turkey and give Hanks.